Alright, how's everybody doing today? This is Ragweed. You're listening to whatever the hell I call this radio, episode 4. Today's date is July 15th, 2005. July 15th, 2005. Today's a Friday. Today's topic will be artificial intelligence. Now, before I get right into things and start talking about artificial intelligence, I want to pose a question to you, the listener. What is more intelligent, a cockroach or a human? Now, don't just jump to a conclusion. Think about it, but also think about why I asked that. Alright, so, now we're going to start talking about a little bit about artificial intelligence. Well, where is artificial intelligence used? Well, we see artificial intelligence used in everything from video games to credit cards, and, you know, search engines like Google. I mean, look at a video game. You got a bad guy over there, you're shooting at him. What's he going to do? That's all defined. It's all defined in the game. Credit card systems, abnormal purchases. Let's say you're, some 40-something-year-old banker or whatever, and, you know, occasionally you'll fly down to, you know, say New Jersey or something to, you know, go for business. But all of a sudden credit card charge shows up. $2,000 Rolex watch. $1,500 Armani suit. Three brand new surfboards. And this all happens out in California. And you, let's say, live in Ohio. Credit card manager program will look at these purchases and say, hey, wait a minute. This guy's never bought anything at $1,000. Shit, he's never even bought a suit with his credit card. Last time he bought a watch, it was a Casio watch, and it was $20 at, say, Walmart. So why the hell would he be buying three surfboards and an Armani suit and a watch? Well, he wouldn't. Let's raise a red flag. Let's contact somebody saying, hey, might be credit card fraud going on. Also, something like Google. So I go on Google and I type in artificial intelligence, or I type in AI or something. Well, it's a pretty general term. So, I've got to have some insane complex pattern matching. You know, I've got to have all these things that's going to go into work and find the results that I want. Give me some links, give me some places to go to. That's a couple of examples where artificial intelligence is used. Well, as far as what is artificial intelligence, I don't really have an answer for that. Because how do you define intelligence? It goes back to my question I asked before. What is more intelligent, a cockroach or a human? Now, if you haven't figured it out by now, the reason I ask that is because, well, take a cockroach, right? Cockroaches have been around since the age of the dinosaur. Humans have been around for a long time. Not as long as the cockroach. But, you know, humans, we can build, you know, cars, we've got computers. What's a cockroach have? Cockroach doesn't have any of that. Cockroach can't build a house. Cockroach can't use a computer. But, cockroach has been around for millions of years. Cockroaches are probably going to be around for millions of years. Matter of fact, there's a good chance a cockroach would survive a nuclear fallout, whereas humans, we could cause that nuclear fallout and wipe out humanity as we know it. So who's more intelligent? The thing that can destroy humanity, or the thing that will out-survive the thing that can destroy humanity? See what I'm saying? Alright. Well, generally, when we think about AI, we tend to think of two versions, scripted and learned. Now, scripted AI would generally be something like you'd see in a video game. You know, if some guy shoots at, if, you know, enemy shoots at me, then, you know, run and hide and shoot back. That kind of thing. Whereas learned AI would be something like, say, a child would use. So a child's going around, a child would probably use a combination of both, but like a child's walking along, it puts its hand on a hot stove. And it burns its hand, and that evokes a negative response. It now knows, hey, don't put that hand on the negatives on the hot stove, because that's bad. That's negative. Now, it was a cool game out there called Nero, N-E-R-O, and the web address for it is, let me get it right here. Hold on. Do 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 do. All right. Web address is nn.cs.utexas.edu/nero. Now, this game is really cool. It's not, and basically what it is you start off with a very basic, say, army of robots, and what you do is you have, in essence, six variables that you control, and based on what's happening with these six variables, it either invokes a negative response or a positive response. And these variables include hitting an enemy, how close they are to an enemy, and things of that nature. And through these variables, let's say he hits an enemy and you invoke a positive response. Well, now from now on, he's going to want to hit that enemy more because he got a good reaction from it. It's a very cool game. It uses a learned AI as opposed to scripted AI, which most video games are using. And it's very cool. I've been playing around with it. And essentially, you develop your robot army and you make them smarter, in a sense. And of course, you can have battles with other armies and whatnot. It's really cool. However, one of the cool things I noticed about this is that it also shows you, for the army, for each little member in the army, you can have it display the neural net complexity. I'll talk about neural nets in a bit. Actually, no, I'll talk about neural nets right now. And well, the basic definition of a neural net is it's, I'm going to take this directly from a website. If you go to, web address is www.sheff.ac.uk/psychology/gurney/notes/contents.html. That's www.s as in stupid, h as in high, e as in excited, f as in frenzy, dot a as in asshole, c as in cunt, dot u as in ubiquitous, and K as in killer, /psychology/G as in guy, U as in underestimated, R as in righteous, N as in not a con, E as in excited, S as in stupid, /contents.html. All right, so that's www.chef. SHEF.AC.UK/psychology/gurney/notes/contents.html, and you know what? I'll put it up in the show notes too. Oh yeah, so that's that. All right. Oh well. So I mean, I forgot to read the quote off. Anyways, basically, a neural network is an interconnected assembly of simple processing elements, units or nodes, whose functionality is loosely based on the animal neuron. The processing ability of the network is stored in the inter-unit connection strengths or weights obtained by a process of adaptation to or learning from a set of training patterns. All right, so what the hell does that just mean? Well, basically, think of it like this. All right, it's when look at the human brain, right? The human brain is composed of a bunch of neurons and they're all communicating, but one single neuron doesn't do anything by itself. I mean, think of it as if you took, say, like a 286 with, 8 megs of RAM. It's not gonna do much. It's a slow machine. But what if we had, like, say, 1,000 286s, right? Like 1,000 286s with 8 megs of RAM each. You can accomplish a lot there. The brain sort of works the same way. See, the brain's got all these neurons. They're all interconnected and they're all communicating with each other. Now, one of these neurons not gonna do jack shit. You take a bunch of these neurons, you put them together, and you have them all work together, and they're all networking, and you have what's basically a neural net. And with this neural net, you can perform complex things like, say, image analysis, speech recognition, things of that nature, which you couldn't, which is the whole purpose. They're there to accomplish insanely complex tasks. Now, jumping, segueing back into the game, Nero, NERO. Cool thing about that, one thing I noticed is that you can display each little robot's neural net complexity, meaning how complex their neural net is getting. However, the cool thing about that is the complexity of the neural net doesn't necessarily define how smart they are, and I use that smart this term smart loosely, how smart they are. Rather, it just defines how complex they are. For example, I could have highly efficient killing machine. But then I could say leave it overnight, and I could have their neural net complexity skyrocket. I have it go up 100 points, let's say. And but now all of a sudden all they do is spin around in circles. Well, they're stupid now. They can't kill things. They don't do what they're supposed to do. But their neural net still got complexer. I found that really cool. All right, now something I want to talk about. Fuzzy logic. Well, this goes along with AI. What is fuzzy logic? Well, basically, fuzzy logic is, it's like a guess or like an approximation. For example, I could say that 100 degrees Fahrenheit is very hot and say 0 degrees Fahrenheit is very cold. What about, say, 65 degrees? Is that hot? Is that cold? I don't know. It's not exactly a static. You know, some people might agree, some people might disagree. For example, if you're from, say, I don't know, the upper regions of Canada or from Alaska, you might say, hell yeah, 65 is hot. But if you're from, say, Kentucky, you might be, shit, that's cold. And that's what fuzzy logic is. Whereas, you know, you've got regular Boolean logic with this, which is, it is, or it isn't. It's that simple. But with fuzzy logic, it sort of helps you figure out the in-betweens. And now, well, fuzzy logic could be used in, say, regulating temperature in a house. It could be, well, is it hot right now? If so, let's turn the heater off, put the air conditioning on. Is it cold right now? Yeah, let's turn the heater on, turn the air conditioning off. Or, is everybody cool? Yeah, we're all good. It's not hot, it's not cold. Let's not do a damn thing. Now you can probably see how this ties into artificial intelligence. As you know, humans, we don't exactly work like computers. We don't necessarily say, well, you know, this is hot, it's cold. It can vary, it can change. It could be very hot, it could be only a little hot. You know, it could be extremely hot, it could be extremely cold. So that's a bit on fuzzy logic. Now, inference engines. Well, what's an inference engine? Well, basically, an inference is sort of like an educated guess through you know, some sort of reasoning. So an inference engine, it's basically used to emulate the human ability to get to a conclusion through reasoning. And there's generally two different kinds. There's backward chaining and forward chaining. With these different types, one sort of sits there and, or let's say forward chaining sort of sits there and, you know, waits, keeps checking. And let's go back to the temperature analogy. Temperature changes, check and make sure it's not hot and it's not too cold. Whereas the other one, backward chaining, would say, is it too hot? And then if it is, why? And then is the heater on? Yes. Then we'll turn it off. And I got this information about inference engine about an inference engine from www.rt-sys.com/ie.htm. That's www.rt-sys.com/ie.htm. www.rt-sys.com/ie.htm. Alright, so that's inference engines. Now genetic algorithms. Well, genetic algorithms, basically, it's Darwin's theory applied to artificial intelligence. Now, as time goes on, right, you get these mutations that happen. Let's say you've got, let's say one day we get to the point in artificial intelligence where we're able to make human-like robots. And, we take these human-like robots, and over time, these human-like robots develop a little bit differently. Well, let's say I'm in charge of manufacturing the robots. And let's say I'm big-time business employer guy that makes, I don't know, coffee mugs. Well, I notice that, hey, that robot's lazy-ass. And hey, that robot's a hard worker, but he's pretty stupid. Hey, that robot right there, he can produce coffee mugs like it's his fucking job. And, you know, he can whip them out faster than anybody else. Well, I'm going to make more copies of him. I'm going to have him reproduce because all the other ones suck. So that's basically sort of genetic type of algorithm things. Well, but now I use that. Now, it's not exactly like that. It's more of, like I said, Darwin's theory. The ones that end up having the better traits are going to produce more. meaning that, you know, there'll be more of them. Now, basically, if you want to look up more information about genetic algorithms, it's a cool website you can go to. It's on. Also, another word that's sort of used with genetic algorithms is evolutionary computation. You can check out listserv.gmu.edu/archive/ec-digest-1. Is that a 1 or an L? Hyphen 1 dot HTML. That's listserv.gmu.edu/archives/ec-digest-l.html. listserv.gmu.edu/archives/ec-digest-l.html. And that's the Evolutionary Computation Digest. Also, I found a link online for the MIT Press. I guess they've got some pretty good stuff on evolutionary computation. So if you go to mitpress.mit.edu, search up for some evolutionary computation. From what I hear, you'll find some good stuff. Now, another place you can also check is the Illinois Genetic Algorithms Laboratory. It's www.illigal.ge.uiuc.edu. That's the Illinois Genetics Algorithms Laboratory. So, that's that. Now, chatterbots and other shit like that. Well, I got a really, really, really cool website for you to check out. There's this chatterbot type thing, and it's pretty cool. I was playing with it. Its name is Alan, A-L-A-N, and also it has a sort of nursery type system, I guess you could call it. Well, that's the term they use, where you take these personalities and then you can interact with them, and you can train these personalities to do different things and interact certain ways. The website for that is www.a-i.com. That's www.a-i.com. It's pretty cool. You should check that out. Give it a shot. Another cool thing, another project that's going on is OpenAI. And, quote, taking this right from their website, openai.sourceforge.net. openai.sourceforge.net. It's, what's OpenAI? It's coming off straight off their FAQ page. The OpenAI project takes an open source approach to creating tools for artificial intelligence development. The project's primary goal is to create a configuration and communication standards for AI tools. Ultimately, we will produce a set of tools implementing these standards to enable the full potential of artificial intelligence to be expressed. We hope to be known as the OpenGL of artificial intelligence. And basically, so what these guys are trying to do is they're trying to create a set of standards, sort of like when you look at networking standards like the OSI model. This is OpenAI, and they're trying to make it so that, well, there's interoperability between certain things. I mean, it's all standardized, making it easier to understand and work with. So that's OpenAI. It's openai.sourceforge.net. Another website with some general AI information type stuff on it, some sort of essays and tutorials on there. You can go to ai-depot.com. That's ai-depot.com. AIdepot.com. This website's pretty cool. It's got a bunch of stuff on there about AI. It's if you go to kurzweilai.net, kurzweilai.net. kurzweilai.net. Also, as far as colleges that have been involved a lot with AI, Berkeley, I know, has been involved a lot with it. So I'm sure if you went on their website, you could probably find some stuff dealing with AI. And MIT is pretty big with AI too, so I'm pretty sure if you went on their website, you could also find some more stuff about AI. Now, the big question everybody always wonders about AI: are robots going to take over the world someday? Well, sort of my personal opinion on it. I see a lot of stuff, and do I really think robots are going to take over the world? Well, not really. No more than I think, say, a certain group of people would take over the world. I'll tell you what I mean. For example, robots. Let's say we make robots. They're much more better at working with machines. We don't care if they die because, hey, they're not human. We can make another robot. We can, we can put with their, they produce faster, they're better workers. We could have them technically be our slaves, if you think. But now here's the thing. If these robots are truly human in nature, I think that eventually, yeah, they might rebel and whatever and take over the world. Now, other people say, well, humans are intelligent, but we don't see them trying to conquer the world. But I mean, trying to take over everybody and throw them into a hole and whatnot, kill them. But here's the thing, though. Like any humans, like a dog, a dog, like these robots, is gonna be obedient. If you hit it once, it's still gonna like it. It's still gonna come back. It's gonna go back for oil, maintenance, whatever. Dog comes back for food. Eventually, though, you hit that dog enough, it's not gonna stick around. It might leave. You keep hitting that dog, eventually that dog's gonna kick your ass and beat the shit out of you. I think that's what might happen with robots. That's sort of like what happens with people. I mean, if you keep enough people in certain conditions long enough, they're eventually gonna say, "Hey, fuck this shit. We're gonna kill that motherfucker." So I think, say robots get enslaved someday, making them our bitches, making them do all the work for us, they might take over. How? But that's just general human nature, and since we're creating these robots in our likeness and our nature, that's my general sort of opinion on it. However, if I had the chance to make some sort of say humanoid robot, I'd do it in about 15 seconds, because I love it. I think this is the coolest shit ever. Another thing to learn about if you really want to get into AI is Lisp. Lisp is a programming language. And the general overview of Lisp is it's basically a list processing language, which is actually what the acronym is for, LIST, LIST processing. Now, some of the things that set Lisp apart from other languages, taking this straight off a website, it's at www.paulgraham.com. Now, basically, conditionals, I guess. They were, I guess, invented by the guy in the course of by this guy McCarthy in the course of developing Lisp. At the time, of course, now we have conditionals everywhere else too, in C and whatnot. But another thing about Lisp, I guess, is that I mean, I've heard this other places too, is that it's got a lot of recursion. And also, I guess in Lisp, all variables are essentially pointers. Now, if you don't know what a pointer is, if you're not really into the programming that much, basically a pointer refers to a location in memory where you can directly manipulate the variable. Because a lot of times, what'll happen is, let's say I write a program and I have this variable, and let's say the variable's x and x equals 73. Well, I pass this variable to a function that's supposed to do something to this variable. Well, now, I can't manipulate that variable because actually, what happens when I pass it to the function, it makes a local copy of that within the function. Now, but with pointers, it allows you to directly call where that place is lo where that variable is located in memory, and that allows you to modify it directly. So, for those of you that aren't very familiar with pointers and programming, that's basically what pointers are. And, a little bit about Lisp. Lisp is used a lot for artificial intelligence. So, trying to think if there's anything else I can do with the show here tonight. Nah, that's about it. About 24 minutes into it. Oh yeah, if you're listening to this broadcast and you don't know where it came from, check out the website www.podcastincubator.com. That's www.podcastincubator.com/ragweed. Slash ragweed is a direct link to my audio files and whatnot. www.podcastincubator.com, site run by Droops. It's a great site. You should check that out also. But yeah, www.podcastincubator.com. I think game got in the way there a bit. It's www.podcastincubator.com. So that's where all the files are located at. Check that out. Tonight's closing music, not going to close with Drum and the PhD again today. Actually, today we're going to close with song Spitfire. Song Spitfire is by a guy named Venomous Maximus. You can check out his website. He's got all this music available for free for download. Go to mywebpages.comcast.net/venmax. That's mywebpages.comcast.net/venmax. It's mywepages.comcast.net/venmax. So this is Spitfire by Venomous Maximus. But before I do that, I want to give a quick shout out to www.port7alliance.com, undergroundsystems.org, and of course binrev.com and everyone in the forums and whatnot. All right, it's Ragweed, Spitfire, Venomous Maximus. Peace.